views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Listening to the Psychic Professors Show, the Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes. This hit call-in show will answer any questions you have about spiritual communication through on-air readings and spirit artistry. Get ready to receive breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten your life. To say this show is educational is an understatement. Dr. Susan is the medium through which spirit communication occurs and fills the canvas of your life.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Susan Barnes, and you are listening to the Psychic Professor Show on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience the voices of spirit. Each week on Psychic Professor Show, we will have some of the most knowledgeable spiritual voices helping you to answer your personal questions about spirit and beyond. And today, I am really happy to have Donna Sinclair Hogan as my guest, and she's going to be talking to us about electronic spirit communication. So welcome, Donna.
Hi, Susan. Hi, everybody.
And I thought we'd start just by having you tell everybody a little bit about how you got into this, because I think it's an interesting story.
Well, in 2005, I had a number of premonitions concerning my brother-in-law, and unfortunately those premonitions came true. However, just after he passed, 4 days in fact, I received a voicemail message on my home telephone. And on that voicemail message, you could clearly hear his voice. However, he'd been deceased for 4 days. And yet there was a time and a date stamp on the recording, which really shocked me, to be honest. I was already traumatised and in shock from his death. He died in an accident. So you can imagine the shock of hearing a person's voice that you know is not here, not on the earth. And being quite rationally minded, I could not understand how his voice is imprinted on my, you know, home telephone system. So I was quite upset about it, and I phoned the telecommunications provider and I spoke to an engineer and I asked him, I actually told him that I had an issue with my voicemail and that the time and the date was wrong. And I just happened to have a provider called British Telecom. And this gentleman then told me that it was absolutely impossible for the time and the date to be wrong on the system. There would have to be a national failure. They hadn't had one for years. And that British Telecom were responsible for managing Greenwich Mean Time. And they had one of the most accurate, if not the accurate, clock in the world. And it was an atomic clock. So he said there's no way that the time or the date could be incorrect. So I was quite stunned and a little bit upset, to be honest with you, because I wanted a rational explanation. And this gentleman could hear the upset in my voice. And he said, "Can I ask you why you seem so concerned about the time and the date?" And I said, "Because the gentleman who left the voicemail for me is deceased and had died 4 days previously." And the engineer went very quiet. And then he made a statement that literally had me shaking in my shoes. And he actually said, "Well, that's not the first time I've heard about this phenomena. Probably won't be the last. And if I were you, I'd Google phone calls from the dead." And I was literally stunned. And I said, "Are you serious?" And he said, "Yes, I'm serious. But I think what I failed to tell you all was that obviously my brother-in-law didn't make the call himself. There was a call left by another person, and his voice had come in over that other person's voice. But the unusual thing was she'd heard the voice too, because that's what shocked me. She'd heard it coming through on the line when she left the call. So I did what any normal person would do, put the phone down, thought very long and hard about what I'd just been told, and then Googled phone calls from the dead. And I found out that actually this was not a new phenomena. And since the era of telecommunication started, it had been documented for over 100 years. So you can imagine I was really shocked, but I still wasn't happy with the explanation that this could be truly the voice of my deceased brother-in-law. So because he was a bit of a telecommunications buff himself, he had the newest up-to-date mobile phones, I assumed quite naively that maybe the voicemail had come from one of his mobile phones. But 10 days later, the police came and they gave us what was left of his mobile phones. And they also had to give us a sheet, which was to do with the Data Protection Act, to say that they'd actually done a search on the SIM cards in both phones just to see if he was on the phone when his accident occurred and who he'd spoken to. And my number was not on the list, and he hadn't called me for weeks. So you can imagine, Susan, it sort of like rocked my world in a way. There was no rational, scientific explanation for his voice being imprinted on my home telephone. So that's the first thing that got me into this field of research.
Yeah, well, I have to tell you that I've heard another person who told me he got several phone calls from his deceased girlfriend after she passed. So I've heard of this as well. So it wasn't completely new to me. But yes, I can see where that really changed your idea of the afterlife.
Well, I came from a Catholic background, and really wasn't into the paranormal in any way. I'd had experiences now looking back that I'd sort of discounted. Even poltergeist activity in the home when I was a teenager. And I'd never really been interested in anything to do with the paranormal. And obviously when something like this happens to you, everything that you believe in, everything that you think is your truth seems to be shattered. And I'll be honest with you, for the first 6 months or so, I was quite apprehensive about doing any more research or looking into it. Until my mum, who is in her 70s now, and whose trade is actually an audio typist, she was working for the local credit union, and she was typing up all of the minutes of the meeting, and she often recorded the sessions. And 6 months after my brother-in-law died, my mum phoned me and said, could you please come to the house? I want you to listen to something. And I said to her, what are you talking about? And she said, I think I've got one of those voices. And I laughed and I said, well, what are you on about? She said, please just come here and have a listen. And what had happened, she'd been playing a recording of a recent meeting that she was typing up. And a friend had rang the bell to take her out. She'd gone downstairs and accidentally, it was a very old-fashioned tape recorder, she'd accidentally pressed the record button and left the recorder on the side and then left the house. And she still says to this day, my mum, that she doesn't know what actually made her listen to it, because once she realised she'd recorded over the meeting, she was very upset with herself. And on that recording, you can hear my dad, who was quite poorly at the time, coming into the bedroom, and he was talking to the dog, which was quite funny. It was a really comic little moment for us. And he was mentioning to the dog how he felt really rough, and, you know, he was in pain, and, you know, he never used to speak like that to us because he was very old school. And the next minute you heard quite clearly a female voice with an Irish accent. And my dad's name was William. And this lady's voice said, "Oh my gosh, poor sweet Willie." And I recognised the voice immediately without my mum even telling me who it was. And it was our aunt who had passed away 8 or 9 years before. So the second event to rock my world was actually captured by my mum. So, you know, I couldn't deny it then. I sat there stunned. My mum was stunned. And we even played it to my other sister and we said, "Do you recognise this voice?" And she said, "Yes, that's our aunt." So in actual fact, my mum was quite instrumental in my moving forward with this, you know, research.
Yes, well, what's really interesting is that we sometimes do have to have verification from someone else. And in your case, you had quite a bit. You had somebody else who heard the original voicemail message left on your phone, and then you had the incident with your mom. So that's pretty impressive. I mean, obviously you can't ignore it at that point. You know something is going on. And we're about to take a break. And I would say if anyone has questions for Donna, you can call us at 800-930-2819. And we're about to take a break, and we'll see you back in a few minutes.
The knowledge book currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the knowledge book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on transformationtalkradio.com.
Your happiness is your choice on Natural Peace Radio. Follow Sarah Van Rieswijk as she addresses the power of emotions. Each month, Sarah covers different topics as she helps listeners activate their energetic spark and create powerful energy and amazing opportunities. Manifest your desires with Natural Peace Radio. For more information on Sarah and her work, visit naturalpeaceliving.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Hi, this is Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio. Sometimes you hear encouraging messages like transform your life now, become empowered, create the life you crave, and it all seems overwhelming and you're not sure where to start. I'm here to tell you that self-improvement is not always fun and easy, but it is always worth it. The path to creating positive changes begins with releasing the things that have been holding you back. Then you can create a life that inspires you. I know this because I've done it. You can find out more about what I do by visiting my website, seattlehealinghypnosis.com. I look forward to supporting you on your journey.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
we're back on the Psychic Professor Show with Dr. Susan Barnes. But before we continue, I want you to make sure that everybody knows how to call us if you have any questions. And the number is 800-930-2819. And this show is sponsored by the Spirit Art Gallery at www.spiritartgallery.net. And my guest today is Donna Sinclair Hogan, and we're talking about spirit communicating through different electronic devices. And as we continue on, I'm going to ask Donna now, what are you up to today after that startling discovery that you could get voices from the other side on answering machines and tape recorders? Where did you go from there?
Well, I don't know if people realize that the field of research into this subject matter is huge. There are thousands of people across the world who form groups, there are organizations, and it seems that technology is advancing at such a rate that a lot of new ways, new methods are coming in, applications specifically, computer applications specifically designed to, you know, capture these voices, radios. It's moving on at such a fast, you know, pace. It's quite difficult at times to keep up with it. And if historically, Susan, the recordings, there are over 100 years of recordings available on the internet. Not a lot of people realise that the first disincarnate voice captured was in 1901. You know, by an anthropologist called Waldemar Begorius. And I've actually heard that and I've got a copy of it. And, you know, he was in the middle of the Siberian desert recording a shaman's ceremony. And he got a lot of voices and stuff coming on his recording in 1901 and reported it to the authorities. And so this is not something new. This is not something that came in when paranormal shows became popular. You know, you've got Frederick Jurgensen, Rowdeev, you've got people who have been documenting this phenomenon for years. And so the quicker the technology advances, the more ways we have. And of course, anybody who works with spirit knows that they will do anything and manipulate anything to get our attention. So if they want to communicate with you, they'll communicate with you using anything, mobile phones, computers, printers, absolutely anything. Even fridges, Susan.
Even what?
Even fridges, refrigerators.
Yeah, refrigerators.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting story, but let me just say that my mother-in-law had to get rid of her fridge on two separate occasions because she believed it was talking to her. And that's a true story. But my theory is that spirit were manipulating the motor in the back of the refrigerator. But it wasn't just us who heard it. Visitors to the property heard voices come through the refrigerator. So what we're doing now, Susan, is we're collating a lot of evidence together. And there's a loosely formed group of people across the world, really. Who are all joining together, experimenting on Skype. People are doing Skype circles. People are, you know, using recording devices now within physical seances, which is really exciting stuff. You've got a lot of physical mediums who are becoming more and more open to, you know, us paranormal researchers going in and documenting the phenomena within the seance room. It's boundless what you can do and what you can experiment with. Anybody can do it with a simple tape recorder or a mobile phone.
Yes, and I have to tell you, I haven't told you this before. When I've been working in Zoom sessions, doing trance work with different people, we've been getting rappings and we've been getting images starting to try to appear in the Zoom sessions. So, yeah, lots of things are happening.
It's incredible, really. And one of my passions at the moment is trying to see if EVP and instrumental transcommunication can be used within, you know, the psychic detective field. I think it could be a real valuable tool to ordinary detectives, never mind psychic detectives. And that's one of the things that we've been experimenting with, and actually had really good results. Because let's be honest about it, if you're looking for a missing person, or you know, you're trying to find someone's body, what better way of finding it than have that person step forward, or the spirit world come forward and speak to you and say, you know, this is what's happening, this is where I am. And there have been recorded instances of that.
That's okay. Go ahead.
It's one of those things as well that we went to a course in November with Tony Stockwell at the Arthur Findlay College, and he did 5 days of psychic detective work there, which was fascinating. And the realization that not only can we find missing people, not only can we help in finding bodies, but we can also maybe even help identify bodies that, you know, have not been identified for years. Who's to say the possibilities where, you know, this technology, this type of spirit communication can be used. It can be used in many different ways.
Yes, I mean, it is. And I think that that's one way where it's kind of amazing that the person from the other side can actually come and reveal information about their death or what's happened to them, you know. But I also have heard stories of people who've died in accidents who stayed around and communicated with family members right after they've passed.
Yeah, that's a very common occurrence, specifically with a tragic death. You'll often find that, you know, that's when, well, even not a tragic death, when people lose a family member, there's various reports of, you know, doorbells ringing at all hours of the night, light bulbs blowing, the television turning on and off. This is all electrical equipment. This is all being manipulated by the spirit person on the other side. So they will utilize anything electric or affect it to try and get your attention. And I think a lot of the time we miss these type of, you know, messages, really. You know, we naturally assume, oh, the printer's playing up because, you know, it, there's data corruption and stuff. But when the printer starts printing out words, or, the, you know, your camera starts taking photographs on its own, or you're getting mobile phone messages from numbers that don't even exist anymore, you know, these things really do have to be investigated. And I think what is a serious shame is that the scientific community just literally, you know, they're quite happy, the skeptics coming forward and saying, you know, this doesn't exist, it's auditory, you know, pareidolia, this never happened to you, which I find quite offensive when they come in and they say, well, you know, we've investigated what you're telling us and we believe it was this, this and this. And I actually think that nobody can take away your experience from you. It has to be initially a personal experience of something, I think. And, you know.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that have become mediums and things after having those types of experiences.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't believe for one minute that I would ever have got involved in this field or had the crazy wild adventures that I've had, you know, since going into this field. I mean, sitting in a seance, physical seance, seeing mediums, none of that was ever anything on my life's path that I could see. I've seen amazing mediums, I've seen not so good mediums, I've come out of physical seances having more questions than when I went in, but I've seen incredible stuff through night vision glasses, you know, the unseen world, nobody knows. I mean, just imagine, Susan, all those famous scientists who created, I mean, you know, the light bulb was a typical example. I mean, in its day, the light bulb was laughed at. Now it's, you know, it's crucial to every home. Yes. So I think it's quite sad that the scientific community are not embracing investigating this field of phenomena, this field of research, to be honest with you. I think it's sad.
Well, yeah, but I mean, because the other thing is that what I don't understand is that spirit is supposed to be a vibration, and mm-hmm. these electronic devices are based on vibrations and wavelengths and different signals that we can get. So it makes sense that spirit would be able to manipulate those vibrations and give us messages.
Well, I mean, historically, you only have to Google the Catholic Church and electronic voice phenomena, instrumental transcommunication. And even the Catholic Church has sanctioned experiments, have, you know, released statements concerning, you know, this phenomena and how it should be recorded and stuff. But one of the biggest things for me is you go onto Wikipedia or any of those websites and you will see consistently, you know, them refuting the phenomena exists, that we're all imagining things. And if you look at the likes of Susan Jurbich and Guerrilla Skeptics and you see what they've written about electronic voice phenomena and instrumental transcommunication, putting the word guerrilla in front of skeptic indicates you're at war. And to me, that's just crazy. These people should be saying, okay, let's go into this scientifically. Let's see if we can find the evidence, whether it's real or it's not real. But no, they don't do that.
No, yeah, and I can say that I have looked at a lot of the skeptics, and what happens is that some people just, no matter what you show them, no matter how much evidence you give them, they won't believe it because it just would rock their concept of the world so dramatically that they can't accept it. And with that, we're about to go on a break, and we will be back in a couple of minutes with Donna Sinclair Hogan talking about electronic spirit communication. Be right back.
Tune in to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio to harness your connection with the universe to effect change for optimal success and happiness. Name one of the country's top psychics, Eve now brings her insights and gifts to this weekly hit call-in show, joined by visionaries, leaders, and gifted others, but mostly you. Jot it down, Thursdays, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The truth is funny. Shift happens. With Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Hoff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
We're back on the Psyche Professor Show with Dr. Susan Barnes, and my guest today is Donna Sinclair Hogan, and we are talking about electronic spirit communication. And Donna, I think you have a story to tell us that's an interesting one that our listeners would like to hear.
Yeah, I think maybe a lot of the listeners may possibly know about this story. It went viral in 2016, and it was about the rescue of a baby called Lily Grossback. And it involved a crash, and she was in the car with her mum, and the four attending officers, police officers and paramedics who arrived on the scene were all mic'd up and had video cameras with them. And they went live national on the US news and told the world basically about how they'd heard what we would call a disincarnate voice or direct voice. They heard it and it was recorded on all of their equipment, you know, shouting, "Help us, help us." And they, all four of them, reacted to the voice. And then there was the realization that the young lady, unfortunately, in the car was deceased. And that, you know, the baby, they managed to save the baby. And it had such an impact, like you were saying before, about how things impact on your life, that one of the police officers actually wrote a book afterwards about the incident, about how he called it an angel's voice, you know, saved this little baby, and that they all heard it. But I think if anybody wants to see how having an experience like this affects you, is if you Google this particular case, and you will see a YouTube video of the four officers being interviewed live in America on TV, and you can see their faces and you can see the way they're talking, and they're trying desperately to explain that nobody else could have spoken those words because the poor lady was deceased in the car. I think it's a fantastic example of how spirit voices can be heard in situations like that. You know, you'll have the skeptics saying that they're all in shock and that they're all distressed and, you know, they've heard nothing or they've been mistaken. But the voice was actually recorded on the audio and visual on the day. So I think it's an amazing case. And interestingly, to have that on national TV just shows how open some parts of the media are when something quite miraculous like this happens. It's a great case to look at. If you're very sceptical, I think it's one of those cases that you have to judge the people who are giving the evidence, and they're all reputable, professional people who've had an incredible experience that they just can't explain.
Yes, well, I've heard of, I had a woman come up to me, in the gym when I was working out, and she goes, "You're going to think I'm crazy, but I heard the voice of my husband a number of times after he passed. I could hear him calling my name." And I said, "Oh, you're not crazy." I said, "That happens all the time. We do. We get direct voices that we hear. And I mean, sometimes we even do it. We'll hear our name being called and there's nobody there."
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was documented in a book last year, I think, or the year before, about Sir Winston Churchill actually talking about hearing a voice that actually saved his life. There is some debate as to whether he heard that voice either mystically or clairaudiently, but he talked quite clearly of how he sat on the different side of his car, and had he sat on the normal side of his car, the car was hit by some sort of explosion during the Second World War. And had he been sitting in his normal place, he probably wouldn't have carried on as Prime Minister. And that was a really interesting. When you have reputable people, professional people, some scientists have gone public and talked about their spiritual experiences and have documented it. I mean, one of my favourite stories is Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who documents in one of her books how she heard the voice of somebody who was deceased and actually physically seen the manifestation of their spirit. You've got, you know, people like Raymond Moody. And if anyone wants to look into the really scientific side of this type of investigation, Brian Josephson is a Nobel Prize winning physicist who now runs a parapsychology laboratory. And he has some very, very interesting stuff on his website about technology, nature, the universe, consciousness. And it's all of those type of things are all wrapped up in the one field. But the brilliant thing about this research field is nobody is an expert. Nobody can tell you the right or wrong methodology because it's such a huge unknown field of research anyway. So, you know, if I record one way and another researcher records another way, it doesn't mean to say that I'm wrong or they're wrong, you know. And people do it for different reasons, Susan. Some people do it to speak to the deceased relatives, and some people do on a regular basis. I've never done that. If any of my relatives have come a call, and that's because they've just popped in to say hello. Blows you away, though. It does.
I was going to tell you, Sherry Pearl does EVP, and she helps parents to reunite with their children on the other side. So that's a very specific use of this.
Absolutely. And to me, you know, you hear people talking about, you know, that type of EVP. It's healing. It's healing people. I know that in some way, you know, I've been healed, you know, in certain ways, because now I know that consciousness survives after death. You know, some people have said to me, well, how do you know that, you know, that these thoughts aren't your own, that these voices aren't your own, that you've pulled them out of your psyche, your consciousness? And believe me, I've lain in bed and I've thought very deeply about where the voices come from. And now I've accepted that not only are they from deceased people, but I also believe that some of the voices are universal. And there's a lot of debate in the field now as that some of the voices have an extraterrestrial origin. So, and that's been documented by people like Alexander McRae. I mean, his stuff, if anyone wants to read some good stuff, Alexander McRae comes from a linguistic background. He was a NASA specialist and he's wrote a lot of books. Some of them are heavy going, but he's a very interesting man and he does his experiments very scientifically. There's a lot of stuff out there for people to choose from. There really is.
Yeah, and there's also been a lot of work that I think has been more scientific, but also has just been blatantly dismissed because it doesn't fit in with what a lot of people think is the truth. And they just can't accept anything else than their own beliefs. So that's a really important idea.
I think so too. I mean, historically, if you look at anybody from a scientific background, I mean, one of my all-time favourite scientists was Sir William Crookes, and the way, you know, his career was, you know, I mean, they couldn't get him for his scientific theories, but they tried to accuse him of having an affair with the medium he was investigating. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. If you're a scientist and you come from a scientific background and you get involved, I mean, even Brian Josephson, he's a Nobel Prize winner, but he gets his academic papers refused on the basis that they're, you know, from the paranormal point of view, you know, and the paranormal covers everything. I even had one guy say to me, you know, this could be, you know, psychically imprinted. And I said, well, isn't that paranormal? Yeah. So, you know, as long as it's not dead people, it's just telepathy, it's okay. I can accept telepathy, a lot of them say, but I can't accept talking to the dead, which is just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, because the two go hand in hand, as we both know very much so. Yeah, so it is. But it the research is out there, and there are a lot more people that are reading and writing and doing research on all of this. So afterlife research, There is the Afterlife Research and Education Association, or not association, oh, anyway, that I'm involved with. So there are more people that are trying to become more public and more books being published about this topic all of the time. Do you have any favorite books?
Well, one of my favorite books is by Peter Banda, and it's an old book, and it's called Voices from the Tapes. And Peter Banda was the publicist for Constantine Maldive. And I really enjoyed the book because it gives a background to Maldive and his investigative methodology, but it gives a more personal, because when Maldive released his voices to the world, it caused absolute mayhem. You know, everyone around the world wanted to listen to these voices, and it became a bit of a pop star in a way, should we say. But when you read this particular book, it explains that a lot of the science at the time, a lot of the investigations at the time were very scrupulous. They were done in very, very controlled, you know, methods, and yet the voices still came. That's one of my favourite books, Recordings, you know, from the Other World, Voices from the Tapes. That's a good one. And there's a lot of great books out there, especially if you go on the ATRANS website, and there's a list of books there. And you can download a lot of free books as well. There's a brilliant book by Sarah Estep. Let me just check what that is called.
Yeah.
Voices of Eternity by Sarah Estep. I mean, that's a free book that you can download from the ATRANS website.
Okay, we're about to take a break. So when we come back, you can tell people the name of that book again. And okay. We'll also discuss what you've got coming up for 2018. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
So we're on break.
Hi there, this is Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio. If you've listened to the show, you know I talk a lot about listening to your body. Here's the deal. Listening to your body takes quieting your mind, and I want to teach you how. Actually, we're going to start right now. Take a deep breath, a truly deep breath, all the way to the top of your inhale, and then exhaling to the very bottom of your belly. Breathing, feeding your body the oxygen and fuel it needs. This is the first step in listening to your body. There's more, but it's so easy. I want to share a quick meditation with you to help you instantly reconnect with yourself and listen to your body. Simply go to audreymichelle.com/tips and download it for free today. That's Audrey Michelle, spelled michelle.com/tips.
In this day and age, if you don't reinvent yourself, you may never find balance, peace, and the sustainable life that is your birthright. Angela Watson Robertson, known as the Reinvention Warrior and the host of breakthrough radio show Masters of Reinvention, is here to help you reinvent every area of your life. Tune in and hear from the best in the personal transformation business and discover tips and tools for positive change. Live every month on Transformation Talk Radio.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Yes, we're back on the Psychic Professor Show with Dr. Susan Barnes. And I just want everyone to know that if you would like to get in touch with Donna Sinclair Hogan, that you can go to my website and get my information, and I'll place you in touch with her. She will be doing some events, and we're going to be talking about those in the next segment. So welcome back, Donna.
Thank you. Welcome back to you too.
And so what have you got going on? I know you've got some things for 2018 up your sleeve. Can you tell us about some of them?
Yeah, I'm going to Spain in early May to do a workshop. And I believe, Susan, you're going to be involved in that workshop too.
Yes.
And that's an open workshop, and we're going to do some experimentation with some computer applications. We're going to do a large circle. We're going to do individual experiments. So, and that is in conjunction with the physical mediumship. What's it called, Susan? I always forget the name of it.
Research. Oh, I just did it. And now I just had it in my mind, and now I'm just blank. Research for Physical Mediumship. It's Robin Foy's organization that he's doing, and he's trying to set up the whole center in Spain, and you and I are going out to try to help do some fundraising for him, because that is a big, huge, wonderful afterlife project that he's doing to try and get people to do more research on an academic type of level on physical mediumship and all of this phenomena that we're talking about.
Yeah, and it's with them. I think it's all about experimentation and exploring, and not confining you know the way of thinking or the way you do things, because as I say, the technology advances so much. When we did the last workshop in Spain with the wonderful Shannon Taggart and also Annette Rogers and a few other people like Hayley, we had some incredible results there. So it's those type of things. It's working with other people. It's experimenting with other people that I really enjoy. And of course, we're coming back to Lilydale as well in July. And we're going to be doing a workshop at Lilydale. And we're talking about technology in the seance room. We're talking about spirit photography. Because, as I say, it's not just all about the voice of spirit. It's about all the different ways that they communicate with us. You know, it's just such a vast subject matter. And no two sessions are ever the same, Susan.
Well, that's why I always go into this saying this is an experiment. I never go in saying, oh, I want to make the trumpets raise. I go in saying whatever happens, happens. But I also want to note that when you're coming to Lilydale, in July, we're also trying to have a physical mediumship meetup. So we're trying to invite as many different people who are interested in physical mediumship and phenomena. And we will have other events besides the Lilydale ones for people to participate in. So I'm really excited about having you come and having everyone come for a few days and try to really explore physical mediumship.
Yeah, and I think it's very important because physical mediumship has had such a bad rap in the last year or so. But I've been very lucky, and a number of our friends have been very lucky, in that we've been given access into certain physical circles, physical seances with equipment, night vision cameras, recording devices, you know, and actually witnessed some very, very interesting phenomena. And that's what needs to happen. The spirit world want it to happen. They want to utilize the technology just as much as we do. And physical mediumship is one of those things that when you go to your first seance, you never know what you're going to get anyway. And then to be able to actually capture something and have the freedom and the openness when a medium says, yeah, you know, come into my seance. There's a medium called Sharon Harvey from Arthur Finley College who gave a seance, and I'll never forget it because it was the first time I really experienced physical mediumship that was a phenomenon that was captured on audio, video and, you know, photographs. And that lady was so open and honest. She just said, you know, bring your equipment in. And that's the type of thing I think we should see a lot more of, physical medium seances where, you know, people can go in and obviously certain people have different practices and certain people work different ways. But the more openness that there is within physical mediumship, the better it is for everybody, I think. And, yeah. You know, you've experienced many a physical seance.
That's true.
And, you know, sometimes you go in with so many misconceptions about what you're going to see, feel and hear. But you always do know when you feel the presence of spirit. It's really euphoric. And that's when the magic happens. It's like mediumship, mental mediumship. You can always truly feel the presence of spirit because that's you can feel it in your heart, you know.
Yeah.
And that's when all the good stuff happens. And when certain groups of people come together and it's a cohesive group and there's no egos and, you know, and people just really want to learn and explore, you know, I love those type of sessions. And I love, you know, there was once an amazing course at the Arthur Finley College, you know, Science Meets Spirit. And that was an incredible course. We had scientists from all over the world. And some of them who'd had spiritual experiences, some of them who hadn't. And that was, you know, that was just marvelous to be a part of. That's what we need more of.
Yes, I agree. But a large part of it is what you've said, which is true, is finding people that are open-minded and willing to experiment. Because when the group comes together, who knows what will happen?
Absolutely. And that's the most exciting part of it for me. And it's crazy. It's just allowing yourself to go with the flow, to experience things that you know you might not feel comfortable with, but at least you try it out, at least you don't block it, at least you're open to the experimentation. And it's almost like I see it like a pathway. You know, sometimes you open a gate here and you go through the door and that's not for you, so you carry on your pathway, you open another door. But to be open-minded and to experiment with all aspects of mediumship, whether it be physical or mental. And plus, the paranormal and mediumship go hand in hand. They are a part of each other. And it comes as quite a shock to some mediums. They don't really like the word paranormal. But what they do is paranormal. Because it's not normal, really, to talk to dead people.
Well, with that idea, we are just about at the close of the show. But I completely agree with you. And yes, the paranormal and the afterlife all fits in with mediumship, and we have to embrace the research in all of these different areas so we can become more informed about the world and what really goes on, not just what people think goes on. So with that, do you have a last word to say?
Yeah, I just say to everybody out there, just embrace the experimentation, be open, be honest. And you'll just have the most wonderful journey working with the spirit world, you know. So just be open and honest, and it's going to just flow. It'll be great.
Yes, I agree with you, and thank you very much. And I do really sincerely thank Donna for being with us today. And I just want everyone to know again that if you need to reach me or reach her, you can find us through the Spirit Art Gallery, and you can find her workshop as soon as it gets posted publicly. I'll have it up on the site, which is www.spiritartgallery.net. I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the Psychic Professor's Show with Dr. Susan Barnes, the Voices of Spirit Radio. Dr. Barnes' deep knowledge of spiritual issues provides an hour of lively talk and discussion about everything from historical facts to transcommunication. To download this show or any past shows, or to learn more about Dr. Susan and her spirit-inspired art, visit spiritartgallery.net.